Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you waiting for?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you waiting for? You see wretched things. We need wretched things. Look what a fine couple we would make if and you'd send it to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337 where your question, comment, conundrum, or snark will be read by Malchus. Take it away, Malchus.
What does that mean?
You know the high priest. Little soldier that went out to arrest you. Little soldier.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the Greek word. His little soldier. He went out to arrest Jesus. And correct. Peter did what?
He cut his ear off. How long did it take you?
Not long at all. Because I read my Bible.
Okay.
And I've got references like that at the ready. Actually, so I'm reading through 1 Samuel. Like to, of course, remind myself and refresh myself of the trajectory of the history of Israel and reading what some people have unhitched. We call it the Old Testament. And I'm reminded again how at the ready the Puritans were with Old Testament references. Okay, I get Malchus. He's Matthew 26. Well, he's actually, is he mentioned in Matthew 26 by name? I think so, maybe. Regardless, he got his ear cut off by Peter, who was using the sword wrongly. And Jesus heals him. So apparently you're not like Malchus in that regard because that hacked sideburn of your...
It's not healed.
It just has not healed. But you read the Puritans and it's like Ichbanisheth who said, it's like, wait, who's Ichbanisheth? How do you know who these people are? They had such a grasp of Old Testament characters, Old Testament narratives, that they could bring them to the ready. And that is why they would so regularly use an Old Testament reference when making an illustration, giving an illustration or sharing, this is kind of like that, or here's an example. And they would go back to the Old Testament. That's ideal. It doesn't mean that you can't use other illustrations, but I think the ideal illustration is taken from the Bible itself. I just wish I knew mine as well as the Puritans did. You know, here's a question. All right. I recognize I'm like simplifying something that isn't this simple. But here's a question for me. Here's a question for you. We have so much technology. We have so much entertainment. We have so many distractions. We're so busy with stuff. It seems that in general, we don't know our Bibles as well as those who didn't have all of those conveniences and distractions. Question, which era was better for a believer? Today's era, where we love the benefits of the cell phone and the technology, and I've got my map and I can get my directions, check out the stock market and the weather that's coming here. It's so convenient. Or would it be better to sacrifice that so I could know my Bible more? I think that's kind of a no-brainer. No, I'm not saying that you should get rid of your phone and just study your Bible, although I would not say that. Study after study, they are messing us up, young and old alike, perhaps more young people because their brains are still forming at that stage, but they're just bad for us. And one of the worst ways that they're bad for us is how distracting that they take us away from doing stuff, from studying scripture, from memorizing the Bible, from serving in the church, from hitting the streets and evangelizing. Which era is really better? Take it away, Malchus.
This is a text.
I'm telling you, you need to do the other side. Because then it would look like you did it on purpose.
I know,
it
but
says
I didn't.
The one side, and it looks like a horrible gaffe in your sideburn.
It is a horrible gaffe.
Do the other one.
No.
What different? They're both going to grow back at the same pace. Are you just going to walk around like cupping your ear the rest of your days?
I'm just not going to go anywhere until it grows back.
Wow.
Just wow. home and work.
I see.
But I do have to go to the grocery store.
Uh-oh. Put on, you know what? I've got your solution. Mask. Put on a mask.
That's who's going to say something else.
Well, and I could say even more about that, but to each their own.
That's right. All right. This is from Ashley. She texted in, I know Mr. Friel does not like fiction that includes magic like Harry Potter. But what about Christian fiction like Narnia or The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, there is a distinction. One is a Christian allegory. One is a fantasy trying to illuminate truth from the Bible. The other one isn't. It's kind of a glorification of, I know they look like good witches, but it's still witchcraft and God hates it. Any sort of divination, he is repulsed by it. And so when it takes on that form and it's not intended to educate or to illuminate, then I think that it falls on the wrong side of the line of Deuteronomy 18. He despises that stuff. Now, I have a confession to make. I've never been a big fan of Narnia and those types of fantasy books, but that's just a preference issue. I think, not sure, but I think I'm being consistent in saying that there's a distinction between books that seek to teach and glorify God and those who teach and seek to glorify witchcraft. Jimmy, Malchus, you got anything else in there?
No, I agree.
All right, 877-282-2337, but you were going to say something anyway, weren't you?
I was going to say, you know, books like Safely Home come to mind.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's fiction, but that's biblical.
Right, but there's the fantasy in the Narnia books. Are there superpowers that people are using?
I don't know. I've never read them. I don't have any clue.
What kind of a Christian are you? Yeah, you've never read them?
Yeah, never have.
Am I ever being censorious? I haven't either, but I can judge you, Pally boy.
That's right.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Adam. Todd, I was wondering, can you be born again and not believe the New Testament is divinely inspired? My younger brother, who used to be a youth pastor at megachurch, has been going down this weird path. He used to believe the whole Bible is God's word, but now says the Old Testament is, but the New Testament is just accurate history, but not from God.
And I wonder how he tries to make that case. Not sure I can think of a verse that would make that sort of arbitrary distinction. Left side, yes. Right side, no, all scripture is inspired by God, for it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, etc. And you say, wait, that's Paul talking to Timothy, telling him the Old Testament is inspired. That is correct. But the New Testament holds itself on the same plane. How do I build that case? Jesus told the disciples, now you're going to recall, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to recall all the things that I taught you. Furthermore, these individuals wrote things down as if they were the word of God. Peter affirms Paul as being an inspired writer of the Bible. Furthermore, it's not just history. The New Testament has some history, that is sure. But before you would even call the Gospels history, I'd call them a biography. The epistles are thoroughly didactic. Yeah, the book of Acts, sure. That's kind of then this, then that for the purpose of recalling early church history. But even that was didactic. The book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature, which was, there's another verse. John saying, I got a vision from God. Well, that would make it Bible, inspired by God. So I'd be curious to know what verse that he uses to make that distinction, which is interesting because these days it's usually reverse. Andy Stanley. Jimmy, I'm sorry.
You good?
A little something stuck in my throat. the Marcion heresy, that the Old Testament, that's got to be unhitched. That's the one that can't be inspired by God because, well, that God is kind of a big meanie. We like the nice New Testament God, which is really quite hysterical because when you read the New Testament, got to tell you, God is still scary. Read Revelation. He's otherly. So I am surprised that somebody's saying not the new, because these days the trend is not such a big fan of the old, which is both wrong, which are both wrong. Neither one of them is right. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anna. Todd, after years of being unsubmissive and disrespectful toward my husband, the Holy Spirit has convicted me of my sin. But after all those years, my husband's attitude is now, happy wife, happy life. So how can I show him my new desire to submit and respect him?
Keep on keeping on. In a marriage, when there has been a pattern of something, sin, just annoying behavior, whatever it is, it gets pretty entrenched and ingrained in the other spouse. And you can't just tell them, hey, I'm different, just stop it. Well, I mean, you can encourage them in that regard, but you could say, hey, I'm different. Let me show you. Let me just keep showing you. And I'll keep checking back in to see if you are persuaded by my behavior that my words are true. So don't give up. Don't quit quickly. Don't give in. Instead, just keep persevering and just keep showing. And if he's never persuaded, at that point, you could call in some reinforcements to help him show, to help him to see, hey, you really are different. But don't be surprised that it takes some time. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Love and marriage. This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, marriage has been on your mind, according to Jimmy, who just told me most of the texts, most of the emails are about marriage and parenting.
Yeah, today.
Where rubber meets the road. That's the real life stuff. It's inside of the home. Hey, just as a shout out, Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, if marriage and parenting, family life, if you could use some inside information a la the Bible, his podcast, you'll dig it. It flies by. It's just about every single word. It's like, that's helpful, Brad. Thrive. It is available at fortisplus.org, or you can also get it wherever you do your podcasting stuff. And if and I might, we're coming very, very close to the end of our match campaign. Could use your help getting there. Dollar for dollar match. This is our effort to close the store and aggressively give all of our Bible study resources away. Would you consider helping us? FortisInstitute.org/truth.
All right. This one is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, I'm getting married soon.
See, what would have been funnier?
What's that?
If it weren't a marriage or parenting question.
Well, I thought about that.
Just sitting right there for you, buddy boy.
I know. I'm getting married soon, and I've heard you say that a husband lives with one's wife in an understanding way by studying her.
Yeah.
What wisdom do you have pertaining to how to do that?
Oh, you've got to give it time. You can observe your wife. You can observe anything. All right, let's give this a go. It's like listening to music. I can hear something and go, oh, I like that. Oh, I get that. That's rock and roll. That's orchestra. That's Baroque. Whatever it happens to be. But if I sit and listen to it over and over again, and I listen to the layering, and I listen to the musicality, consider what instruments were chosen, then I start to like, okay, I'm getting this thing more and more. It takes time to do the studying. So don't just think by living with your spouse, you're studying them. Yeah, you're getting some surfacey stuff, but you've got to go below that, and that demands time. So for instance, let's say that your wife is regularly, she seems a little angry. Let's try that. She seems to just be a little bit on edge. All right, so here's what you've observed by observing her anger. She gets angry, but you have not studied her. What causes it? What motivates it? You got to get in there and figure it out, which probably means you're going to have to communicate, dude. You're going to have to ask some questions. And this is the stuff of manhood. And let's just say that this woman is angry. Most likely, sir, you're thinking, well, I don't want to bring it up because she's going to get angry at me. Yep, she might. So what do you need to do? You need to think and set it up. How can I get us into a place where it's like, it's chill, it's relaxed, and I can ask questions. And that might actually demand that you do some stuff before you do the stuff to get her ready. Because maybe she doesn't want to talk to you because you don't listen well. Maybe she doesn't want to talk to you because all you do is just fire off the solutions to this stuff. So you're going to have to maybe go back and retill some soil so that she will be more open with you. Then you figure out a way. How can we have a conversation about this at some point? What would be the best way? So study. Okay, is it going to the beach? Is it going for a walk? Is it having a nice meal? Does she like to read? I could get, you know, maybe try to slide in a book, listen to a sermon. Strategize and think it through so that you can talk about it and ask what I think is the important question. Honey, when you seem to get a little uptight about things, what's going on in your heart? What's happening? And she might be able to tell you what's going on. She might not. And let's say she can't. Guess what you need to do? Keep studying. Because there could be a number of things that cause her to be angry. It could be disappointment. It could be pride. Why can't everybody else get their act together like I have my act together? It could be fear that manifests itself in the fruit of anger. It's a rotten fruit, but nevertheless, it's a fruit. And the root is fear. Study. Get in. This isn't a casual thing. And you should seek to do, we should all seek to do this. It took me way too many years to figure this out. In fact, I remember when Fireproof, this whole study thing came out with the movie Fireproof. That was in 2007, something like that. I still think it's a good movie, actually. Nevertheless, one of the love dares, I think that's what it was, wasn't it? That trend was you 40 days, you do something for your wife. And one of them, you know, you study, you get a PhD. I think that's what one of the firemen said to the fireman. Study, get a PhD. And I remember going, yeah, I think I got it. I didn't got it. I mean, of course you know somebody after living with them for a decade or two, but not if you're not thinking about them, studying them. What's going on in there? When does this happen? Are there any, oh, what do they call them these days? The things that set you off that you can't do.
Triggers.
Trigger warning. What are they? Okay. What are they? Forget the psychological baggage behind it. What is it? You must study by observing and thinking and talking. And if your marriage isn't at that place where those conversations can happen, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. But I would say this, just stall your desire to have those conversations. Other things need to be worked on first. Other things perhaps need to be healed or patched so that you can have those conversations. So if all of this is just sounding just too fantastic for you, don't give up hope. Listen to Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, wherever you do, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever it is, and it will help you to heal and to grow together. I have the pleasure. I'm so really looking forward to this. I get to this afternoon. Perform a wedding, and it is a young couple, and they're all googly-eyed. It's so fun to watch. It's just so fun to just they're just heady and giddy, and then I get to deliver a short message, and it's based on Ephesians 5. And my observation of the text is, you're probably running to Ephesians 5. I think it's 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wife. Love your wife the way that Jesus loved the church, seeking to present her as a bride without blemish, spot or blemish. And you go, okay, those are the wedding verses. But notice what they are. What is the command to submit? What is the command to love? First of all, love is doing, not feeling. But both of those commands for the bride and for the groom are doing. You do stuff for the other. That's what you do things for them. And out of that doing, that is an expression of agape love. And guess what is produced out of that ground? The fruit of warm feelings, not like, oh, like wedding day feelings, you know, the tingly. No, it'll be deep, lasting, profound, maybe not buzzy, but they will surpass understanding. They will help you feel secure in a world that's just bonkers, because you have bonded together in this way by serving one another, spending yourself for one another. Out of that then is produced the feelings. And so if you're married and it's not, the feelings aren't there, then you got to go back. You got to go back a bit. Got to start serving. Got to start doing. Got to start loving. Got to start submitting. And let things heal. Give it time. It could take years. Not kidding. Could take years. But it is absolutely worth fighting for. 877-282-2337.
I think if I would have understood a whole lot earlier in my marriage, I would have saved a whole lot of issues.
Yep.
But I think a lot of times as men, we think women are a problem to figure out, an equation, and we've got to figure out what makes them tick or whatever, or how they think. And I think you can just be upfront, like when there's an issue that your wife has,
I think you ask her up front, hey, is this something that you want me to fix or help you fix? Or is this, you just want me to listen to you?
Yeah.
Because we just take we have a tendency to want to fix everything and we can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would have saved me years of problems if I would have just understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Nothing.
You going to let me just sit in that?
No, I'm going to let you fill the time.
Why?
I know what you did.
That's exactly what I did.
I know exactly what you did. There was like a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
didn't want to ask another question.
I did not.
For a reason. I guess I'll have to study you. Might have something to do with that sideburn. So you jump in, you offer your husbandry wisdom
in order to
keep me from getting another question.
That's right.
But you fell short on time.
I did not fall short on
you
time.
You did fall short on time. There was 50 seconds left,
but
you expect me to fill it.
I was setting you
so
up.
So you slight me. You don't give me the question, and then you want me to clean up your mess.
Yeah.
I divorce thee. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The Make America Healthy Again movement continues gaining momentum as major food companies are now bowing to common sense. Kraft Heinz announced this week that they're going to remove all artificial dyes from their products by 2027 following pressure from HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy. Meanwhile, at Starbucks, the CEO, Brian Nicole, met with RFK on Tuesday and vowed to make the coffee giant's menu healthier. And across the Atlantic, Austrian leftists are showing us exactly where gender ideology leads when taken to its logical conclusion. A leaked bill scheduled for debate would jail parents, doctors, and psychologists for up to 1 year and fine them for attempting to dissuade minors from gender transitions. Now let that sink in. The state wants to criminalize parents who say no to sterilizing their own children. When confronted about the bill, coalition parties immediately started pointing fingers at each other. Yeah, that's how toxic this agenda is. And here at home, the Supreme Court delivered a decisive 6-3 victory for sanity in a Supreme Court case that upheld Tennessee's ban on chemical and surgical gender transitions for minors. But you wouldn't know it was a win for children from reading the legacy media coverage. The Washington Post called it a major setback, while the New York Times labeled it as a bitter setback. Of course, the Associated Press declared it a huge setback for transgender rights. Yeah, it was a tough day for them, and the corruption runs deeper than biased coverage. It's embedded in our healthcare system itself. Consumers Research released a report exposing 5 major hospital systems using millions in federal funding and tax-exempt status to push progressive political agendas instead of focusing on patient care. Cleveland Clinic committed $7 million annually to environmental initiatives while performing gender procedures on minors and opposing Ohio's ban on such surgeries, while Vanderbilt was caught calling gender surgeries on children a big money maker before Tennessee outlawed the practice. President Trump this week escalated his war on wind energy, declaring his administration will no longer approve any new wind developments, saying, quote, "We're not going to let windmills get built because we're not going to destroy our country any further than it's already been destroyed." He called the turbines garbage that deface America's landscape. And the announcement builds on his January 20th executive order, halting all wind approvals pending federal review. And in ministry news, we'll close with an update on Pastor John MacArthur, who himself provided an update to his Grace Community Church congregation, confirming that he underwent a second successful lung procedure last month with doctors optimistic about his prognosis. And that will wrap up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hairstyles are us. This is Wretched Radio. You need to do the other side.
No.
Look, for your own sake, I'm telling you, just gash the sideburn on the left side because people will think it's like a man wearing an earring on the right ear.
Todd,
they could perceive.
I know.
I'm trying to help you, Jimmy.
I know you are.
You look tough.
But understand, I don't have a fear of man problem.
And so what was that I heard earlier about going to work and back again and being terrified of going to the grocery store?
Because I don't want to look stupid.
But you said you don't have a fear of...
Hey, well, you know what? Sounds spiritual.
I'm so confused. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, recently my sister, who claims to be a Christian, shared with the family an experience she believes was the spirit of a dearly departed friend visiting her home to say hello. I tried to reason with my sister with the biblical view regarding ghosts and spirits of the dead, but she was not convinced. In my research, I surprisingly found little Bible teaching on these topics. Yeah. Why does it seem that most preachers seem to avoid or tiptoe around the subject?
Maybe they haven't run into it in their text. We'll assume that they're doing expository preaching and divination and sorcery and witchcraft haven't appeared for a bit. But I think that maybe this might be something for every pastor to consider, how much, whether they do or not, totally up to them. But this is all the rage these days. Astrology, it's huge. New Age, mysticism, tarot cards, psychics, all kinds of diviners that can tell you the past, present, and future. It is popular. Is it worthy of a sermon or a mention in a sermon? That's up to each pastor because that's up to each pastor. And I'm not going to be the one to tell them definitively what to preach on Sunday morning because it is up to the man filling that pulpit, but maybe something for you to consider, pastor or Bible study leader, or maybe with your kids. You could take them, for instance, to Deuteronomy 18. It is clear God hates this stuff, and it hasn't changed just because this is the Old Testament. This is one of the reasons that God drove the Canaanites from the land, because they were practicing all kinds of shenanigans. Deuteronomy 18:9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That was a pagan practice. One who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all of those are abominations to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Don't do these things. Now, let's use our MacArthur study notes to determine what these soothsayer interprets omens. Is that talking to the dead? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, it is. Conjuring spells, number 6 in the list. Binding other people by magical muttering, 7. Being a medium. One who supposedly communicates with the dead, but actually communicates with demons. Sister, if that wasn't a conjuring up of a conversation in your own mind, we know it wasn't her because it's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. You're absent from the body, present from the Lord. That was a demon. You sure you want to stick with that story? Communicates with the dead, but actually can be, number 8, being a spiritist, one who has an intimate acquaintance with the demonic spiritual world, and 9, calling up the dead, investigating and seeking information from the dead. Those are all verboten. So I would take her to the scripture and just camp there and don't let her wiggle off of the hook. However, I think I might go a step further. I might want to try to put on my pastoral hat and ask, why do you think she's experiencing this? Now, could it be a demon? Yes. Yes, it could. Could it be a conversation of her own making? We are fully capable of doing that. You have conversations with yourself. You can imagine somebody saying something to you and what you would say to them. So this could be nothing but her own imaginations. I would ask the question, sup, what's going on? Sister, you're a Christian. Are you maybe struggling in your grief to accept the loss? That could be a possibility. Second, there could be a theological issue that she's needing comfort from an appearance and not from the Word of God. people love these things. They love. I get it. I remember when I was a kid, somebody said that there was somebody in an airplane took a picture of Jesus walking in the clouds. And I remember going, yeah, I want to see that. That would, yeah, then I'm going to know that Jesus is, well, whatever I perception or conception I had of Jesus at the time. We love that stuff. We don't need that stuff. We've got a more sure word. We've got the Bible. So it might be that she's simply grieving poorly. Maybe she's just feeling really bad, doesn't know how to process it. You could help her with that. Or it's because she's not believing what the Bible says and that that is the book that should provide her comfort, not an appearance from a potential demon. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, what advice do you have for a man who is married to an emotionally abusive narcissist who can hide her behavior and fake at church and in front of everyone, but behind closed doors, she is actually emotionally abusing her husband?
Yeah, it's rough. That's a hard spot to be in. And by the way, it's oftentimes reversed, but make no mistake about it. There can be some mean women. Didn't we cover that? There was a book about mean women.
Yeah, there was a book that we went through.
Angry women. You might want to go back and find that somewhere in the archives at Fortis Plus. But what do you do with that? First of all, you need to work on you first. That's where you got to start. I mean, and I'm not suggesting you're not. So I'm just speaking in generalities here. If this is the dynamic in your home, you can't change your spouse. You are not your spouse's Holy Spirit. All you can do is work on yourself. And you need to be encouraged that you married the right woman. Why? Because you're married to that woman. And if God didn't want you married to that woman, you wouldn't be married to that woman, but he does. And so it must be for your good. Furthermore, I would suggest to you, it is now evident what your ministry is. Your ministry is she. If she is struggling the way that you're describing, I know the word narcissist gets overused these days a lot, but if you're dealing with somebody who's, we'll just put it under the category of emotional struggles, whatever emotion that happens to be. She's your ministry and you need to help her. Furthermore, you can consider enlisting the help of others. You might strategically want to talk to some godly women who can keep a confidence to ask if they could come alongside of her and to teach her and to help her. It might come better from them than from you if you hand them Martha Peace's The Excellent Wife book and say, read this. Maybe they could do a study with her. Furthermore, this will be a stalled thing. Oh, is this ever, this is just killing me on the inside. Drive-by marriage could be extremely helpful for you, even if she doesn't do it with you. Wait a couple of months. It'll be available for free at fortisplus.org. It's 37, 38, something like that, lectures on the subject of marriage. How to forgive, how to have a tender heart. It should first and foremost be applied to you. If she joins you in that study, the Lord, through his word, can tenderize her heart. And then finally, I would say, take a long view. How long did it take you to work through one of your emotional issues or struggles? And the answer is you might not even be done yet. Ditto with your spouse. Is it hard? Yeah, it really is. Is it for your good? No question about it, or it wouldn't be happening to you. Is she your ministry? Yes. Is it going to happen overnight that she changes and becomes godly and stable? No. But that is why you promised to stay with her and to cleave to her till death do you part. 877-282-2337.
Todd, I am an 18-year-old man dating a godly young lady. How should I deal with lust and attraction for someone that I am dating? Should Christians deal with attraction differently at different stages of their relationship?
Why do you ask a question like this so late in the segment? I'm sorry. You're just getting in-house fighting between me and Jimmy every time this happens. My apologies for that. This is a delicate line. Until you say I do, you have no rights to her in any sort of intimate way, even if that simply involves your imagination. It is not, having said that, it's not wrong for you to be attracted to somebody, but you got to stifle that Edith. You gotta bury that because you can't be lusting. You don't have permission to. Can you lust for your wife? I think the answer is yes, because you're in that relationship. As long as it's not something that's violent and awful, sure. And you can have those desires and look forward to your time together. Absolutely. Do you get to do that with anybody else? Absolutely not. So you're going to have to wait, recognizing that you're attracted to her. And let me encourage you by saying, show her what kind of a man you are now. Honor her today. It will encourage her that you will be a man that honors her when you're married. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this, you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts. All of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, I don't know how much money you have, but I'll be taking all of it. This is Wretched Radio. Somebody foolishly sent me a picture of himself without a beard.
I did.
You know, there's such a thing as Facebook. I could post this bad boy.
That's okay.
When did you start shaving? When you came out of the womb needing a razor blade.
I don't know what age, but I know it hasn't stopped since.
Seriously. What were you, 8?
Probably not 8. Probably 9.
Silly rabbit. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? And you can send stuff to idea at wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
This is from Mary Beth, who texted, Anton, what is your opinion on women teaching the whole group, boys and girls, in the junior high youth ministry every once in a while? The youth pastor is a male.
Yeah. Well, once in a while is not really relevant. It's either right or it's wrong one time or three times or 30 times. However, she used the term junior high and boys and girls. Are you a boy and girl in junior high? What age is that? Once you start, in my opinion, once you start getting to puberty time, I think to play it on the safe side, Paul is clear, 1 Timothy 2:12, this is not something that is permitted. The teaching of men needs to come from men because that office of elder, preacher, teacher is reserved for those with XY chromosomes. So any violation of that, no matter what the regularity is, it's a violation of the Bible. So err on the side of caution. The Lord will honor that. So you say, well, a woman shouldn't be teaching males that are 10. He'll honor that, even though let's say it should have been 12, because you're trying to be obedient to him. And I suspect if that is your heart, you'll be able to find another solution. There should be another man in the church that can step into the youth pastor's shoes. And by the way, as long as we're talking about youth pastors, I think that I am now settled. I am now resolved on my belief that youth pastors shouldn't be youthful. In fact, I would suggest we flip-flop how we traditionally place different pastors into different roles. Let's be honest, when it comes to being a youth pastor, is it usually an older man or is it the younger guy? It's usually the younger guy. We consider that it's sort of like training ground, not dealing with the adults yet and more patience. Maybe the kids will be able to relate to them. Not what the kids need. The kids actually need the senior pastor. They need the gray-haired elders. And guess what? I think the youth pastor would be pulled up then by walking down the hall and teaching the big adults. How fast would he grow if he had to prepare whatever his presentation is for some senior saints who have been around for decades? And so, resolved, youth pastors shouldn't be. They should be mature men teaching the youth. And let us, for the sake of growing up the youthful pastor, let's send him down the hall to the adults. Resolved. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous.
That'll never pass the Southern Baptist Convention test.
Will never.
Never. That amendment. The Freedom Amendment.
Won't pass.
Hey, we won't do this today, but Denny Burke just wrote an article saying good things about the SBC. He was talking about a number of the things. They're worth talking about. But just Denny Burke is a rock-solid kind of guy. And so if you've perhaps been frustrated or flustered by the SBC, some of the votes didn't go the way that you wanted to. Denny had a lot of positive commentary about the SBC because remember, even if you're not SBC, we want the SBC to succeed. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Ton, I have a friend from church who committed adultery and divorced her husband after 30 years.
Okay, so she, the friend is a she,
mm-hmm.
married 30 years.
Right.
Commits adultery.
Right.
And divorces the guy she sinned against.
Right.
Okay, I'm tracking.
And she's currently living with the boyfriend. Mm. She has two daughters in college who frequently tell her that she cannot give them any type of relationship advice because of how she broke up the marriage. My friend doesn't know how to respond. What say you?
You're right, kids. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. I have surrendered any sort of moral ground or any sort of authority when it comes to this issue because of my ongoing behavior. Now, that does not mean that the woman might not have some wise advice for her daughters. And it doesn't mean, honestly, that the daughters shouldn't be willing to receive it. But just, I think we would agree that when you do something like that, it damages a relationship and it does bring into question your credibility. Why would you tell me what to do relationally when you've made a dog's breakfast of your relations? So I wouldn't blame those young ladies. I would encourage them to try to eat the meat and spit out the bones and honor her as much as possible because they're called to do that even when your mom makes a horrific mess of her marriage. Ah. 30 years. Now, I know it's not like it happened overnight. These things don't ever work that way. Where suddenly, you know what? I think I'm going to go out and break my vow. No, it was roiling for a long time, and maybe their marriage was struggling. Nevertheless, that is just to do. That's a heartbreaking story. 30 years of marriage, two daughters, all trashed. Oof. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous as well. Todd, is husband of one wife a trait to look for in an elder or a command for an elder? When you hire a man who fits every other qualification for elder but has never been married?
No.
If they thought it was going a different direction.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
No, you don't have to be married to be an elder. But if you are married, you got to be a one-woman man. In other words, fully committed to that one alone. But it's not a command. You must be married. It's kind of assumed because marriage, while not superior to being single, it is more normative than singleness. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Carla. Todd, it takes great care and wisdom to walk alongside women and help them navigate the reality that the same sovereign God whose permissive will allows their suffering for their good and his glory is also the only one who can save them and heal them from that suffering. Mm. You have any advice for me as I help these women with that tension?
Two words, Libby Glosson. That's right. I'm answering with a plug. We need some good female Bible teachers. We really do. Libby Glosson is one of them. She's one of our fellows here at Fortis, and her podcast, it is exploding. I'm not kidding. It just keeps climbing up the rankings because it's so biblical, so real, so intelligent, and so helpful. It's called The Better Way. Not A Better Way, The Better Way. You can do it wherever you do your podcast business or fortisplus.org. You just keep discipling. I think sometimes we forget how long it takes to help somebody. How long did it take God to fix you? And you say, I'm still being fixed. Exactly. And so we strive with one another. We're patient with one another. And we commit to one another in the long term. That would be my encouragement to you. Don't grow frustrated. These are when bad things happen to people, and yet to say God is good. Look, it is something that should be, it's better to establish that before the bad thing happens. But you can teach that. You must teach that when the bad thing does happen. Timing is kind of crucial because that is the only salve. That is the only healing balm. God knows and he's good. Repeat after me. God knows and he's good. God knows what's going on in your life and he's good. And his promises are, he's doing something for you, not to you. He's doing something for you. Why? Because that's his MO. That's what he does for his children. And so let's grieve through it. Let's mourn the loss. But let's do the work to determine, Lord, what work would you like to perform in my life? Because I know you know, and I know you're good. Idea. At wretched.org.
It's like you planned this. I'm going to say something radical, though, to this lady. Maybe it sounds radical. You mentioned discipleship and discipling these women. And when you're suffering, there's a fine line there, but I don't think you're ever going to disciple someone or help them through a time where they've been suffering by holding up a mirror to them and making them continue to look at themselves and look at the suffering. You gotta point them to Christ. They gotta continue to look at him.
Yeah, but you know what? I totally agree with that. Just the same, I would say at some point, and I think you'd affirm this, that there is time for introspection.
Oh, yeah.
Don't waste your suffering. There is stuff for you to learn, and God could be doing or permitting something in your life because that is exactly what our divine doctor ordered. Because you need it. So there is a time for that. So that's, I think I kind of snuck it in. Timing is everything. You don't want to just walk in. I just love the people who love to let somebody know that sovereignty is what should cure their ill. Yeah, it's just an oversimplification of the entire process of somebody who's dealing with grief. Oh, something horrible happened to a loved one. Sovereignty. No! Yes, but timing. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.